Good morning and welcome to AV Daybreak. I'm Mark Coxon, and as always, I'm here with Jared Hillman. How are you, Jared?
Here I am. I'm well. I'm good. Here I am.
Here I am. I am here. It sounds like it's a song we sing in church sometimes.
Or like in preschool.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was
maybe it is more of a church song. Maybe.
My wife posted on Instagram once, like she said, I blame all my disappointment in people on Barney, because he told me, you know, if I love you, then you love me, you stupid purple bastard. That's not the way deceiving. It works.
It was deceiving, unless you had the people that were the polar opposite and were like, no, you love me.
Yes.
And I love you. And then you're into, you know.
It, restraining orders. Restraining orders. I was going to say, yeah, usually.
Yeah.
We were meant to be together.
You know, it's actually really nice here this week. So that's exciting. One thing I'm really excited about this week is we have a backlit exterior sign on our building.
Okay.
And we've been in this space that we're in for about 2 years. It's never worked. And it's never worked, and we've just never put it as a priority to get it fixed. And so we've just turned off all the, you know, the half lights that are working in the,
sure,
and stuff. So it doesn't look like it's not working. It looks like it doesn't light up. And so anyways, this week, because it's nice here, we are taking it upon ourselves to fix the sign. And so I'm excited about that, because, you know, it's dark right now from 5:30 PM to, well, what time is it now? It's 8:30 and the sun's just coming up here. So yeah, it's dark a good portion of the day now. So I'm going to get the most value out of a backlit sign. So I'm excited about that.
I love it.
Fiscal responsibility.
I'll tell you, when I was early on here at Hangrim, and not a lot of people in the company really knew me well yet, as far as, you know, personality wise and things like that.
Sure.
I was invited to a meeting with a major client, and we're standing in the lobby of a building, waiting for our turn to kind of go in and present. And as we're standing there, there are three guys standing out in the lobby, and there are a few lights outside. And you know, one guy's holding the ladder, and one guy goes up and down the ladder, and the other guy's taking the light bulbs out of the box and handing them up the ladder to the guy that is, yeah, up on the ladder.
Both making the same amount of money.
Yeah, all three of them, you know.
Yeah.
All three of them. And then at one point, the guy, you know, grabs a bag, the other guy grabs a ladder, the other guy grabs the tools, they jump in the elevator and they leave. And I turn to my CEO and our VP and a couple other people in my group, and I said, three. And they go, three? And I said, that's how many guys it takes to change a light bulb in this building.
Yeah.
And then they just looked at me like I was an alien for a second, and then realized I was making a joke, I guess. But,
and you're like, hey guys, I'm funny, okay? I'm the funny guy.
Either that or the, yeah.
That's pretty clever. I mean, I don't know if I would have put that together. That's pretty, but as soon as you said three, I knew exactly where you were going with it.
Yeah, we think similarly. I think when you said criminal activity earlier, and I said restraining order, and we kind of overlapped, I'm like, all right, yeah. Jared and I are on the same page this morning.
Same brainwave.
Yep, exactly.
So you're on a hiatus from, and I'm taking your word because you used it this morning. You're taking a hiatus from social media, Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't been. I mean, I'm not completely off of it. I mean, I have posted a couple things and responded to a couple things, but yeah, I took it off my phone for a little while, and I'm just trying to not get in the mindless scroll, you know, the mindless feed scroll.
It's tough, right?
It's not if you delete the app from your phone, because then you have to go to the website and you have to enter your password every time, and then you're making a conscious choice, right? So anytime you create friction like that and you make people actually stop and make a choice, they might choose to do something else, as opposed to something just opening. You don't really make a choice. You're on autopilot. So,
and what's the driving factor behind you stepping away?
I think a couple things. I think, I don't think it's helping my restlessness. I'm very restless during this time for some reason. I think my brain is looking for some type of social interaction and payout that, the feed just isn't giving me. honestly.
You and like, 300 million other people?
Yeah, the endorphins aren't releasing the same when I'm going through the social feed as they are if I was sitting across from somebody.
Sure.
So I think, honestly, it may be amplifying or extending, you know, kind of that anxiety and restlessness. So I'm getting rid of it a little bit that way. And I'm also working on, I mean, I've been working on a project for a while, which is, you know, I'm writing a book based on it's funny how ideas pop to you. I was asked to give, to come up with a presentation for architects and designers about technology. Yep. And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, I don't want to go in and just talk about proper screen sizing or, you know, the latest screen technology or the importance of infrastructure in your design, which is why you should bring us in early. You know, like there are all these things that people talk about to architects and designers, which have some value. Don't get me wrong. If anybody has a presentation like that, I'm not dogging your presentation. I'm just saying those presentations already exist. So if I'm going to go in and give
something,
do I want to give something they've seen, heard of, something that my competitor gives, or I don't want to give something different? And because you and I do a lot of reading and seems like we read a lot of similar things, especially on humans and interaction and psychology and, you know, those type of things that are very important in managing people. I came up with this idea of the physics of the workplace. And so I started to build a presentation around that. And interestingly enough, there's enough there to build a book around. And so that's what I'm doing, building a book around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept that as an answer.
You'll accept it as an answer. No, it should be good. I mean, I haven't prioritized it. I've done parts and pieces of it here and there. But you know, it's like most business books, it's really kind of four different things, right? There's the original thought and the train of thought that I'm building the book around. That's part of it. There's other reading that kind of helped form that I need to reference. So that's kind of like cataloging, you know, references and pulling stories and things out of those other areas and crediting them. A lot of anecdotes about things I've seen. And then I'm actually interviewing a few people that I know to get some new stories. Because I think if you've read, I mean, we've read a lot of similar books about business. I think a lot of the cases are used over and over again. You know,
they are. Yeah. You almost see like different verbiage of the same concept.
Yeah. So like, you know, Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow, that's a great book. Everybody references it, but you'll see a study or two studies or a couple findings from that book placed in five or six other books throughout. Not because they're repeating it, but just because the data is so good from there, why wouldn't you reference it? So,
So
I wanted to bring new stories. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Dale Carnegie. I mean, that guy's quoted 100 times in every book.
Yeah, so I have, you know, I have some anecdotes from engineers and AV companies that I've worked with. I have a friend who's a business coach who deals with, you know, cultural change and transformation and all that kind of stuff in his business. And so I'm really kind of going out to my network of people that I've built over the last 18 years and finding some cool sticky stories that other people haven't heard that help solidify some of the ideas. And I think it'll make it stronger, for just easier to read, more fun, you know?
Yep. Okay.
So we'll see.
Right. I've always wanted to write a book. I've always wanted to, but I don't have the attention span. It would end up being a children's book. You know, it'd be seven pages of nonsense and some doodles.
Yeah.
It's some doodles. And I just don't have the attention span to write, you know. I could talk. I could, you know, maybe I should just do a talk where I pretend that like I'm reading my own book. And my book is only available on Audible.
There you go. See, that's that's it.
And there's no copy in existence except in Audible.
Jared starts out to write Stephen King's It and writes Where the Wild Things Are. Right? It's like,
that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And every version of my book is different. Yeah. So, okay. So, I mean, I think a lot of people could use a break from social media. I've said for a long time that if I didn't have a company, I don't know that I would be on social media at all, because I have to maintain, or I believe I have to maintain, an online presence with our company. And so therefore I need accounts to have business accounts, and that's what keeps me on there. But I've had the desire to go, I'm done. Like, I'm just pausing all of my accounts. I want nothing to do with the feed, you know, and that monotonous stream of information and nonsense at times. And
yeah,
I think, I've used nonsense. Look at that nonsense.
I mean, I think for me, I'll tell you that I have some of those same inclinations at times, like, you know, Facebook, the only reason I have a Facebook account is exactly for that reason. I used to help some people do business Facebook pages, and I needed to have an account to help them manage. So the first time I signed up for Facebook was for business. Twitter, I signed up for business. I would say that I probably would keep Instagram, only because I like to sometimes share just quick things without even any commentary. Just like, oh, there's the ocean.
That's why I like Instagram.
Yep. So I think I might keep that. I don't know that I would start a new Twitter account. I would keep it now because I just have such a great community around me that I don't think I could totally walk away from it, because there's so many people I know that I only communicate with on Twitter right now. But yeah, if I hadn't been in business, I don't think I would have started a Twitter account. I don't think I would have started a Facebook account. I don't have Facebook or Twitter on my phone right now. I do have LinkedIn. I would probably have LinkedIn for work, just to build a business network. I did have that before, and I think I would keep it. Although I do find myself, now that Twitter's not on my phone, scrolling LinkedIn more, and I'm like, you know what? I need to turn off LinkedIn. I need to take LinkedIn off my phone.
Now I need to get rid of LinkedIn.
But I'm not watching LinkedIn stories. I still refuse. I will not watch. I will not watch LinkedIn stories.
And they changed the platform, right? Now it's different.
It is different. You know,
and then they added the stories, and I'm saying, no, keep it different, you know, like keep it, I don't know, simple and business. And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a little leeway there. I'll tell you some of the most, you know, some of the most interacted things I've posted on LinkedIn, some of the things people interact with the most are, you know, they're kind of like half and half. Like, I think the biggest one was me change, you know, when I changed jobs, there was, you know, 20, 30,000, you know,
applauses,
people that saw it, which was cool. And a lot of people interacting around it. Those seem to be big, you know, big milestones like that, career milestones, things like that, that aren't necessarily about promoting business or talking about a business concept, but have some type of personal side to them, seem to do pretty well.
And maybe that's what I'm overlooking that, right? And LinkedIn, in their mindset, they're probably looking at it going, look, everyone's personal branding and business branding is all blending.
Yeah.
And so we need to give them opportunities to brand themselves professionally in the same way that they brand themselves personally on Instagram with stories, you know, for example, or what have you. But I'm just an old man saying, get off my grass.
I don't know why I won't watch the stories. I just haven't yet. Like, it's just another place that there are stories running out. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, you know, Instagram kind of stole them from Snapchat, right? Because that was the...
Right. Yeah, that's where it all... Yeah.
And I don't have Snapchat anymore. I opened one at one point because they were doing some takeovers at Rave, like Snapchat takeover. And of course, again...
Gary Vee told you to...
No, not Gary Vee so much. Gary K told me to, from Rave.
Gary K. Damn you, Gary K.
I needed to have one to take over their feed. But
right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's the second steal I don't like. It's okay if Instagram stole it, but if LinkedIn steals it too, come on, Bill Gates. You buy LinkedIn and you steal Instagram stories. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Damn, Bill Gates.
Darn you.
Yeah. What else is it's a weird time, right? Like, what's today? Today's November 18th. COVID, let's put it at what, February 18th?
Yep.
You know,
or other. Here was like March 13th, I think, was the initial kind of lockdown order.
You're 9-10 months into this now, right? You're 9 or 10 months into this circus.
Yeah.
And what's the, you know, you and I were talking just briefly before we jumped on the recording, but Man, I don't know if it's getting easier to predict the future or harder.
I think it's harder, honestly. I think we need to quit. Honestly, for me, I think we just need to quit trying to predict what's going to happen. Right? I mean, me seeing around the corner. I mean, I think number one, where do I want to start with this? So
And we only have 10 minutes. We only have like
we have
7
10
minutes,
minutes, I know,
actually.
and you got to get out of here.
We have
So
in 7 minutes, tell everyone how to deal with COVID and make their business survive. Go.
yeah, exactly. So I'm always brought back to Stephen Dubner at Infocom saying the problem with futurists is they're never, they're always wrong.
A
And that's
meteorologist. Yeah.
the problem with futurists, right? And so, I don't think there's anything we can do to see around the corner. But I think there are things we can do to see what is happening in small pockets now. And I think the more, and you were talking about this a little bit with me earlier, and I'll let you throw that out there if you want to. But, I think the more that we can expand our network to see where these little pockets of success are, that we don't need to see around the corner. We just need to focus on what's actually happening out there. Because, there are small pockets of things happening. So,
Yeah.
there's two philosophies, right? There's like, I'm waiting for an elephant to walk by. And I have my gun, and I'm sitting in a tree or a deer, and I'm sitting in a tree stand, and it's deer season. And when a deer walks by, I'm going to kill it. And I haven't seen a deer in 9 months. Or
Yeah.
I have this set of tools in my bag, and I'm hungry, and I'm out, and I just heard a noise, and there's something there that I could probably eat. What is it? Right? I mean, those are the two ways I'm seeing this right now. Like, you have to be somebody who's flexible, open, and surveying. The environment and finding out what is out there right now, as opposed to saying, well, when will the deer start walking back through the woods? Right? Like, that's a bogus question. You're going to starve waiting for it. Right? So you have to find something new to hunt. You just do.
Yeah,
And I
it's
think we can amplify that by talking to people like we do, talking to your network and figuring out what they're finding in their space and what you're finding in your space. And maybe you find some commonalities, and all of a sudden you discover this pocket that's thriving, right? It's like the underground population in a post-apocalyptic future. You're the only you're the
That's why.
only you're the only man on Earth, and then all of a sudden, you're Tom Cruise in Oblivion. You're surveying things, and you think there's aliens on the ground. You find out they're humans living underground.
I feel more like Legend.
Yes, there you go. Legend. I am Legend,
Am
Will Smith.
Legend. I am Legend. Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's you're I liked the analogy of, yeah, you could either sit there with the rifle that you've always hunted with, waiting for the animal that you've always hunted to come by, or you could equip yourself with multiple weapons. And I'm sorry that we're getting violent here so early in the morning. You could equip yourself with multiple weapons that take advantage of any animal that comes by.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I think the challenge is that, I've seen a handful of animals in my life, but this is an animal that I wouldn't recognize. So if it goes by me, I think, and maybe that's the challenge people have, is that something weird walks by them and they're going, was that an animal? Can you eat it? Was that edible? Is that a
Yeah.
guy? Can we shoot it? Or
I think so. I think that's part of it. And I think that's why, I think that's why, talking to each other, paying attention,
Yeah.
right now becomes, that ability to zoom out and see a bigger picture
Well,
becomes super important.
and yeah, I agree. And I mean, what I have been doing is I've been not trying to predict the future, obviously, but you're trying to read and understand how people behave and how they're going to do things. And so, you see articles that say, I've seen a range of 30 to 50% say that, the workforce is not coming back to the office. That's the range I've heard, is as low as 30, as high as 50. And so then you just start processing, okay, well, what is everyone going to do with that real estate space? And what is everyone going to do with 50% of their employees that don't actually work in the office more than one day a week, 20% of the time or whatever it is? That's kind of as much predicting as I'm working with, is what are they doing? What are we doing here? And then you're watching how you can tie things together. Like, I know our government just extended like a tax-free benefit from your employer. They've, I think, I believe they've kind of always had a tax-free benefit for up to $500 to buy a, like a personal computer.
Yep.
But they've just extended that to office furniture now. So if you need to buy a better chair, your employer can reimburse you as a untaxable, like a tax-free benefit, right? So you watch that and you go, okay, you know, is there a market for me to say, hey, like you can now purchase these peripherals, or this now fits into this tax-free bracket.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just trying to pull in all these yarns of information, you know, and once you pull on one yarn, then you're unraveling a whole bunch of stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. I think that's smart. I mean, I think it's smart to human behavior is going to be human behavior. I mean, we have so many years of, you know, or decades, millennia of instinct and, you know, yeah. The way that we interact socially, the way that we do certain things. And we're going to have kind of those driving forces within us, just like I said about social and not being fulfilled with the feed. I mean, all those things are happening, even though we live, you know, even though we live today, we have all that kind of momentum inertia built up within us to want to do certain things. So I think that's smart, but I think that's not really predicting the future. That's being a good anthropologist and just knowing what's always happened. That's actually being a good historian.
That's not a real world. That's not a real word.
I'll say, you know, I know
it's next you're going to tell me a zoologist is a real word.
Oh yeah. You like me to say zoologist, which is true. Yeah. Zoologist, not zoologist.
All right.
Alex, so, you know, to close on that, like, Alex Fortin, who I did see on Twitter, who I know listens to this show. So shout out to Alex.
And he's a Canuck.
Yes. And he's a Canadian.
Double shout out.
There you go. Double shout out. You know, I saw him post on Twitter and LinkedIn a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, when are the unprecedented times just going to be the times, you know, just saying, you know, at what point do we do that? And I 100% agree with that, because I think we're at the point where, you know, if we had a 3-week, 4-week interruption, you might say that. But I think we're at the point where, honestly,
this is just,
I almost think it creates a victimhood mentality. And I don't think people thrive in a victimhood mentality. I think the more that we say, oh, these are unprecedented times, you're almost saying, you know, I don't have any control over what's going on at all. And when we put ourselves in the seat that I don't have any control over what's going on, you know, we don't take those extra steps sometimes to go out and find, you know, to seize the power that we do have to change some things that we could change. And so I don't like that we've continued to say that for 9 months. And I definitely don't want to say that for another year.
Yeah. I wish I didn't have to jump off this, but
no, that's okay. We'll use it as a launch pad for next time. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Let's keep this going. And, I'm going to reach out to a few people, like I said, and see if we can get a bit of a round table going on some discussion around that. So, okay, really, my friend. Cool.
All right. Well, hey everybody, it's a short one, but Jared's got work to do. Yep. I'm sure you guys do too out there. So enjoy your half hour of AV Daybreak this week, and we'll talk to you next time. How do you know, man?